In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hello, friends, and welcome once again to another installment of Strange Planet. And if you'd like to get deeper into Strange Planet, why not consider becoming a premium subscriber? It's real easy to do. Just click on the link in the episode notes, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. You gain access to commercial-free listening. As much as I love our sponsors, sometimes it's just nice to listen uninterrupted. You also gain access to two special bonus episodes produced exclusively for premium subscribers every month, and you receive my monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. We are going to welcome today a veteran Hollywood publicist, an author, a podcast host, chairman of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, and he is also intimately connected with one of our favorite UFO conferences, Contact in the Desert, which is just around the corner, May 30th to June the 3rd. We'll talk about that as well. Daniel Harari was born and raised just outside of Asbury Park. Greetings from Asbury Park. Dan is a man of many talents, while best known for his 40-plus years of work in Hollywood as an entertainment industry, a publicist and owner of the boutique Asbury PR agency in Beverly Hills. Dan is also the author of the popular 2022 Hollywood book, Flirting with Fame. A Hollywood publicist recalls 50 years of celebrity close encounters. Articles about his book appeared in Newsweek, the LA Times, New York Daily News. His second book, After They Came, made an immediate impact within the UFO research community during 2023. And his next two books, My Paranormal Life, Supernatural Stories from a Hollywood Insider, will both be released during June 2024, also just around the corner. He's long held interest in the UFO phenomena led to his having conceived the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, which officially launched in November of 2023. Dan serves as the HDA's chairman. The co-founder of the HDA is iconic disclosure advocate Stephen Bassett. With nearly 200 members located around the world, the HDA is a truly unique networking organization bringing together top UFO ET researchers with Hollywood producers and filmmakers. And of course, I mentioned Dan's work as a publicist with Contact in the Desert, and you want to find out more about that and sign up. The link is in the episode notes. Dan Harary, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. You know, sometimes when I hear my bio, I'm like, wow, you know, when do I sleep?
Exactly. Put your feet up for crying out loud and enjoy it. Relax. All right. So let's begin at the beginning. Suburban New Jersey. Your father was an electrical engineer for, was it the Monmouth Air Force Base?
Fort Monmouth, New Jersey Army Base.
He's an electronics
engineer and a physicist for 45 years at Fort Monmouth Army Base. He was a civilian, but he was there from 1951 to 1996. Same fort. He was there the whole way through.
45 years. And you're driving, he's driving you to school. You're like 12 years old. What happened?
Okay, so that's pretty much the story that's kind of put me on the map, Richard. In the past year, man, March 1970, I was almost 14. And my dad drove me home one day from school, and it was maybe 3 in the afternoon. It was daylight outside, and this is my suburban street near Asbury Park. I grew up in Ocean Township, New Jersey, which is a town away from Asbury Park. And we're driving in my dad's car, March 1970. As we're driving, I looked up through the passenger seat and I saw a huge silver V, like a letter V, like a letter V, like Victor Kraft, hovering above my father's car, right? And it's just there. It was just there, appeared. And I go, Dad, there's a UFO. Stop the car. Dad, there's a UFO. I'm in the car. I'm not even 14. And I'm like this. So my father pulls off to the side of the road. My father and I get out of the car. We're standing in front of the car. We look straight up. And Richard, honestly, I'm like, Dad, look, isn't this cool? Now, if this was you and me or me and any other person on the planet, the other person either would have been scared to death or thrilled to death or had some expression on his face. Any other person, right? My father looked at it, Richard, like,
yeah, ho-hum, another day at the office.
Ho-hum, another day. Now they're looking at his watch. He's looking at his shoes. There's a craft. And now each wing of the V was like the size of 2 school buses.
Wow.
Shiny silver, maybe 200-300 feet above my father's car, okay? Silent, no propellers, no smoke, silent. And I'm like, Dad, isn't this cool? And he had no expression. So maybe a couple of minutes we looked at it, and then my father said, come on, kid, let's go home. Get in the car, go home. Now, remember, this is 1970, okay? I went home, and we had a rotary, if anyone remembers rotary phones, we had a rotary phone. Mm-hmm. And I called the Asbury Park Press, my hometown newspaper. Hi, my name is Danny. I'm almost, I was 13. I go, 14. My dad and I just saw a UFO in the sky above my neighborhood. I want to report a UFO. And the lady said, Sonny, I'm getting hundreds of calls right now about this. I can't talk to you. We know all about it. I'm really sorry. And she hung up. And that's everything I'm telling you is really happened. And it gets more remarkable as we go. So she hung up, and then Richard, I looked in the paper every day that week, and no article ran, nothing ran. Now, when I'm 14, I'm a drummer, I have drums, I'm in rock bands, I'm starting to grow my hair long, I'm chasing after girls. My friends and I worked at the Sunshine Inn rock concert. My best friend and I worked at the Sunshine Inn rock concert hall, a block from Asbury Park boardwalk, a block from the boardwalk. Well, guess who started out there? Bruce Springsteen.
Of course, Stone Pony.
No, well, this is before the Stone Pony.
Before the Stone Pony, okay.
It's called the Sunshine Inn. Mm-hmm. It got lost to history, okay? Uh-huh. Everyone thinks Bruce the Stone Pony. Bruce did not start at the Stone Pony. Uh-huh. Bruce started at the Sunshine Inn, which is actually on the opposite corner. And again, it only was there a few years, so it got lost to history. So my friends and I, we knew Bruce. I mean, Bruce was a local bar band guitarist from the age of 15 to 18. I volunteered to work there after school. I would ride my bike after high school to the Sunshine Inn. And I was the stage manager and the head of lighting. My best friend and I both were with those stage managers. And we never got paid. But we worked with Bruce Springsteen in 1973. It was the week that his first album came out, Richard. Mm. The same week. Clarence Clemons had joined the band the same week.
Very cool.
So we worked with Bruce. We worked with Kiss before they were famous. It was their first ever show that was not in New York City. We worked with Fleetwood Mac before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined. I'm a drummer and I'm way into rock. Okay. So Humble Pie, Jay Giles, Deep Purple, Edgar Winter, Mott the Hoople, Focus, Renaissance, Slade. My friend and I just missed, in fact, I'm trying to get him on my podcast. We just missed Alice Cooper. We just missed the Allman Brothers and we just missed Yes by a couple of weeks.
Wow.
As we started in Feb 1972, and those three bands made, and all before they were famous, right? Which I still love, Allman Brothers with Dwayne Allman and Alice Cooper, all before fame, were a few months before I started working there. I just missed those guys. So my high school years, Richard, were drums in my own rock bands. My friend Steve and I had our own light show. So we would have, you know, anyone who knows the 60s, if you saw old videos of you know, Jefferson Airplane or Jimi Hendrix or The Who, you know, there was a screen with like all these colors. We called it the blob. There's like all these liquid colors that are going on. You probably know it.
Looked like a lava
about.
Lamp.
Yeah. We called it the blob. Mm-hmm. What that was it was an overhead projector. So here's a band, and then there's a huge white screen. My friend's father was a coat manufacturer. He created for us a huge white screen, and then behind the screen, our friends, and nobody ever got, we never got paid, man. We lost money, but there was overhead projectors, and they had glass bowls, clear glass bowls. This is how this was done. So in one glass bowl, you'd have yellow, and then another you'd have red, right, and then another you'd have blue. Another, you'd have purple. And then you squish the bowls on top of each other and spin them around. And you're getting all these blobs. A guy named Joshua White created that, the Joshua Light Show. He was the guy that did that at the Fillmore East in San Francisco. He created the blobs. So anyway, so my friends and I, I had rock bands, long hair, drums, light shows. After school, I'm working with Bruce Springsteen, Kiss, and Humble Pie. So that's my childhood. So UFOs was not
forgotten.
Other than it was UFOs was not the forte there. Mm. It was, I saw something with my dad and then I forgot. And I literally forgot about that, Richard, for 47 years. And we can jump forward, but I forgot all about that completely for 47 years because I was so into the
sure.
rock era.
Sure.
Know?
And but you did ask your dad on a couple of other occasions, you know, did you ever see, you know, Dad, what do you make of UFOs and ETs, right? What did he say?
You know, that's true. And you're the only person that picked that up. Along the way here, now my dad and I never ever discussed that 1970 sighting ever. And I really wish he was alive now because God, I would love to talk to him. My dad had severe Alzheimer's the last 2 years of his life. Mm-hmm. He didn't know me. He didn't know my brothers. He didn't know his wife. He didn't know anything. There's no way I could have asked him at the end of his life. But during when he was still my dad, I would say, Dad, you know, what do you think of UFOs? Oh, UFOs. And he would like, and walk away. Okay. It wasn't a topic of conversation. Now, I'll tell you a couple things my father ever did say to me. And again, he was there for 45 years, top secret military clearance. The only things my father ever said to me was, I say, when I was a kid, Dad, what do you do for a living? I helped America win the Cold War. Okay. That's what he said. Okay. One time out of nowhere, I don't even know why, he said, you know, Danny, I helped invent military drones. And I'm like, okay, Dad, can we go get ice cream? You know, I'm 10.
Right.
Okay, Dad, cool. I don't know what that means. I'm watching the monkeys, you know, right? Mm. I'm playing the drums for the monkeys. In fact, Mickey Dolenz became a friend of mine 20 years later, and that's a whole nother story. You see my drums. So he helped win the Cold War. Okay. He invented military drones. Well, I don't know what that means when I'm 10 years old. And the only other thing, Richard, he ever told me was, we're in the car, and he used to drive me to my drum lessons. You know, he was a great, great guy now. You know, I invented a drone one time, and it looked like a flying garbage can. I go, oh, yeah? And, you know, we flew over North Vietnam, and it took photos with rolls of film. I go, okay. And then when the film was done, the canisters of film were attached to little parachutes, and the parachutes would come out of the drone and beep, like beep, beep, red beeper signal, so our troops could find them on the ground. And I'm like, okay, Dad, what are we having for dinner? Mm-hmm. You know, my dad's telling me stuff in the 60s and 70s. I'm a kid, man. Yeah. I'm a little kid. Okay, so I helped win the Cold War. I invented military drones. I created a drone that looked like a flying garbage can. And UFOs, okay, that's it. That's it.
Well, he had to protect to protect his pension. He wasn't going to risk that. He had a family, right?
Exactly right. Exactly. People have said to me, how come your dad didn't tell everybody? Pension. The answer is pension, truly. My dad could not wait to turn 65. He retired like the next day. Got his pension. He and his second wife moved to Florida. They were very happy there for many, many, many years until he got sick. And there was no way my dad was going to jeopardize his pension. Now, my mother's still alive. My parents were together 25 years. Mm. And my mother will turn 90 in October.
God bless her.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Do you want to jump to 2017? Or because other things happened to me along the way.
Well, I know that you had a couple of other sightings, one out in California, and then another one in Washington State at the Gilliland Ranch there.
Yes, exactly right. Okay, yeah. So I'll do this chronologically, and I'll do this quickly so you can get the full picture. So 1970, we discussed. It was just the one time, 5 minutes, and I literally forgot about it entirely. Okay, that was that one. Now we jump to 1998. 1998, I had been out, I moved out to California in 1980 when I was 24 years old from New Jersey. 1998, I'm now divorced from my wife. I have two very young children. My ex-wife, who we're still friends, she moved to Lancaster, California, which is the high desert. It's about a good hour and a half, 2 hours east of LA. And it's near Edwards Air Force Base. So keep that in mind. Mm. Okay. So in May 1998, my son Jordan turned 8. And he goes, Daddy, can I have a telescope for my birthday? Telescope. Now, I used to see my kids every weekend. I worked my ass off in Hollywood as a publicist. And man, did I have Friday nights and Sunday nights. I did a lot of driving. And I never missed a weekend with my children. I never, ever did because I love my children. So I got my son a telescope. We went out. May 1998. Now in Lancaster in the high desert, the sky is crystal clear. There's no smog. There's no city lights. There's no clouds even. It's the desert. It's wonderful. You see the sky is crystal clear, sparkles. So my son and I have the telescope, whatever it was, $150, whatever it was. And we see, you look at Saturn and Jupiter and the moon, and you look at all the cool things. And it was a great father-son. I remember very well. And then when we were going to go inside, and he's in his pajamas. I mean, he's 8 years old. Okay. My daughter was 6 at the time. As we're going to go in, I look up at the sky one last time. And in the far right hand corner of the sky was sort of an egg shaped light, yellowish, whitish color. And I just saw it and I looked at it. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. And then I watched it, Richard. It went very, very quickly and steadily in a straight line all the way across the entirety of the sky to the left side. And I said, Jordan, look, a satellite. Isn't that cool? We're seeing that's a satellite, of course. Mm. Okay, so it went all the way there. Then it stopped in place for about 30 seconds. Now, I don't know anything that can stay in place. And I said to myself, that satellite's going to plummet to Earth. Something happened. Something went wrong. It's going to fall. Right? Wouldn't you think that?
Sure.
It stopped. Then it turned around and it went all the straight line all the way back where it came from. And then it disappeared. Okay. Not a missile, not a drone. Well, maybe a drone, actually, in retrospect. But not a missile, asteroid, comet, airplane, helicopter, a spacecraft. Nothing, I didn't think anything man-made could do that. So I said to myself, okay, that's a UFO. I mean, clearly. Now, I've told this story all over the world. Do you know Jimmy Church?
Of course. Yeah, a former colleague at Coast to Coast, yeah.
Right, so when I spoke to Jimmy, he said, you know, Dan, you were near Edwards Air Force Base. They test reverse-engineered craft there all the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jimmy, I think you're right. I believe that was a military man-made thing that they were testing. I really do. In retrospect, I think that was, so that was the second UFO. That was in 98. Now we jump ahead in time to 2007. Mm. I went to go to a movie to meet a friend at a movie theater. Right next door to the movie theater was a bookstore. I walk into the book just to kill time, and there's a huge paranormal books section. And in my life, Richard, I never, ever realized that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing, believe it or not. And there's books, Eric Von Daniken and Zechariah Sitchin and Richard Dolan and Betty and Barney Hill's book by Kathleen Martin and Stan Friedman and Crop Circles and Bigfoot and all the things that we all love, okay? I'm like, wow, where has this information been hiding? I didn't know any of these things. I bought a dozen books, as many as I could carry that day. Mm. And I brought them home and I read all the books and I'm like, what's this MUFON? You know, I keep reading the MUFON. I'm like, what is it? So I looked that up. I'm like, well, I need to join that. And I'm telling you, in 07, I didn't know what MUFON was. I joined MUFON Southern California as a member. And I'm still a member. And my very first MUFON meeting, and I got so lucky, Matt, my first meeting, the guest speaker was Giorgio Tsoukalos. The very first meeting.
Ancient Aliens.
This is 2 years before Ancient Aliens existed, the show. So he's Eric Von Daniken's protege, everyone knows. And he did 90 minutes on ancient astronaut theory with slides and pictures and graphs and charts and you know, the Nazca lines and Stonehenge and the pyramids and petroglyphs and cave drawings and Betty and Barney Hill and Travis Walton. I mean, he's doing the greatest hits. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally, Rich, I'm like this. Like tears. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. And like, light bulbs are, Dan, this is the history of mankind. I'm like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing because it spoke to me instantly, man. I went up at the end. I said, Giorgio, I said, thank you so much for that talk. I said, you just changed my worldview just now. Literally changed my worldview. Cool, man. Thanks. That's what he said the first time I met him. I've met him many times since then.
Did you flash back to 1970 at that point?
No, still not. Still not. Good, great question. Not at all. Okay. That was 07. 1 year later, 08. And I'd been going to meetings. They had once, in those days, they had them once a month. Now they're every few months. In 08, I went to another MUFON meeting. I had a girlfriend then named Barbara, a writer for TV. We went to this MUFON meeting. Now, this time it was James Gilliland.
Yosetti Ranch.
He owns the Yosetti Ranch in Washington State. And his ranch is essentially at the base of Mount Adams. And now, Mount Adams was called, when I was there, they told me, Mount Adams, the Indians who used to live on that property used to call Mount Adams the Mountain of Shining Lights, okay? Because UFOs lights have been coming in and out of that mountain for hundreds of years. The Mountain of Shining Lights, I thought that was so cool. Now, when I saw James Gilliland at the MUFON, he was showing still photos and videos of all the UFOs at his ranch. His ranch is a world famous UFO hotspot. Sure. It's been for hundreds of years, but since he's known it, it's been very well known. And he said, you know, people from NASA come, scientists come, UFO researchers come all the time from all over the world. They come and they look, and no one leaves disappointed. And he was showing slides and videos. So I said to my girlfriend, I go, Barbara, we gotta go. That year, 08, he had a 3-day open house, July 4th weekend, 08, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a 3-day open house at his ranch. You had to buy tickets for it, I think maybe a couple hundred bucks. And we went, my girlfriend Barbara and I went. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He had a tent on his property during the day. And it was like, and I think Nick Pope was there. I know William Henry was there. I remember him. Guest speakers, and they had films and panels and all. About, you know, all crop circles and UFOs and orbs and the pyramids, all the great things. And I'm like, you know, I'm a sponge. So that was during the day. At night, they built a bonfire out in the field. Now, James's ranch is a house where he lives, hundreds of acres of nothing, absolutely nothing, and a mountain, and the mountain range is this. Adams is the same mountain range that Kenneth Arnold saw his UFOs further down. I forget which mountain his was. So during the days with the seminars and the films, and then at night they build a bonfire and people were playing guitars and tambourines and dancing around the bonfire. And we're looking up. Now, the first night, you know, we're looking up for hours and hours. And, you know, I actually remember seeing satellites. People would say, what's that? What's that? That's a satellite. What's that? Oh, that's the space station. Okay, that's fine. No UFOs. Next day, seminars, lectures, films. night, second night, fire, dancing, guitars, girls dancing around. My girlfriend was dancing with this other girl in the field, and I took a picture with my digital camera. And when I looked at it, and I have this picture, there were thousands of orbs in this picture. Now, you didn't see that with your naked eye, but in the picture, and I still have that picture, thousands of orbs. And we were like, what is that? Okay, so that was pretty cool. Second night, we're looking up, nothing, hours and hours. And you know, your neck hurts after, you know, this, after a while, your neck starts to hurt. The third and final day was a Sunday. Lectures, films, panels with Nick Pope or whoever it was. Bonfire, looking up, a couple hours, my neck's hurting. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there were about 200 people there. And all the cars are right there on the property. So I'm thinking to myself, if I leave right now with Barbara, I get my car keys in my hand. If I leave right now, I can beat the rush because it's going to be a traffic jam.
That's right. Like leaving the ball game in the seventh inning.
or leaving a rock concert before the last encore. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Richard, I had my keys in my hand. Okay. And I'm ready to, I'm looking at my car, and then a craft came out from nowhere over us. Black, jet black, dark craft, a couple hundred feet above us. Mm. I couldn't tell you the size or shape because it was black, jet black against the black sky. I couldn't tell you. I never, to this day, I've tried to remember I have no idea. It just blocked out the starlight and the moonlight. So it hovered, and we looked up. We're like, okay, what's that, right? What's that? All of 200 people. And then underneath it, it had like a clear glass crystal bulb underneath the center of this craft, and it lit up brilliant dark emerald green, like the emerald green from the Wizard of Oz, that beautiful green lit up. And then the light came down and bathed all of us like this. Flashing. Now we've all seen the X-Files, you know, when Mulder or Scully were looking up and they're bathed in the UFO light. Well, this was green light that we were being bathed in. Now I'm looking straight up. We're all getting colored by this beautiful, gorgeous light. What I got from that was, hi, hello, we're here. We're sorry we're late because we know you've been waiting for us. We love you. Don't be afraid. Everything's cool. We're in the neighborhood. We wanted to say hello. Love each other. Love your brother. Be kind to one another. And we'll see you another time. Okay. That's what I...
Right.
There was no audio. There was no telepathy. I didn't hear voices in my brain, although I have heard voices in my life, and that's my next book. But that was the feeling I got in my heart, and I still feel it to this day. I feel right here. So after maybe 2 minutes, and then it stopped, the light went off, and then it just slowly kind of moved, and then gone over Mount Adams, and it disappeared. Well, I started crying. The people there were crying, were hugging and kissing, and like, can you believe that? Oh my God, what just happened? Oh my God. Now, I'm telling you, if there are extraterrestrials, that's what that was. That was not a Chinese weather balloon. And that was not a drone that my father built. That was something remarkable. I know it in my heart. I know that was extraordinary because it was. You know, we all cried, and I still remember crying. That's how touched I was. That was 08. Okay. Now we jump forward in time. 2017, my father passed away in Florida. He was 86 and a half. I saw him before he passed. He didn't know who my brother or I were. And it was the saddest thing probably, and I might even start crying now, but it was the saddest thing that ever happened to me because I loved him very much. So when he drove away with his wife, the wife drove him away, and here's a paranormal story. His wife, my brothers and I never liked her, but they drove away. My dad waved, and they drove away. It was his 86th birthday. He drove away. My brother went to the rental car. I'm standing there just watching my dad, and I swear to you, I heard a voice in my right ear. This is one of the times I've heard a voice that said, Danny, you'll never see your father alive again. Like, just like that, in my right ear. I turned around. I thought it was my brother. Hmm. There was no one there. And that's a whole other paranormal. We could do that another time. But I'm telling you, Danny, you'll never see your father alive again. Just like that in my right, it's always my right ear. I fell to the ground sobbing. It was the hardest I ever cried in my life. My brother came and he had to help me get into the car. It's how hard I was crying. So my dad passed I was back in LA. My dad passed in Florida. And I was sad. So a couple days after he died, I went to, this is funny, I went to a deli in West LA, Junior's Deli, to get a pastrami sandwich. And all of this is what I'm telling you is true. Went to get a pastrami sandwich, to be by myself and think about my dad. 3 days after he passed, I ordered my pastrami sandwich. I'm sitting at a deli thinking about my dad. And this is God's honest truth. A beam of light or energy, something from above, zapped hard into my head like this. I felt it like bang into my head and out through my brain and my eyes like this, like I'm Richard, like I'm looking at you, mm-hmm. was projected a hologram in the air.
Wow.
Maybe, you know, 8 inches, 10 inches in front of my eyes like this of the 1970 UFO sighting.
Wow.
I had with my father, as God is my witness. This is a true story. I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, then this is 47 years later. And 3 days after he passed, I'm watching me and my dad from 1970. I'm seeing me jump up and down. I'm seeing my dad look at this thing bored. I saw my dad's car. So the movie I saw was as if the cameraman, there was a cameraman, right? Because I didn't see it from my eyes, Rich. Right. I didn't see it, my point of view. I saw it as though it had been filmed as right. a home movie.
Right.
From you know, 20 feet away with someone with a camera was recording. So I saw the whole thing. And at the end, this time at the end, when my dad said, come on, kid, let's go home, he winked at me.
Ah.
Okay, so then this hologram ended. Now I'm like this. I'm shaking. I'm like, what just happened? Right? Then I had an idea. I need a pen. So I asked my waiter, gave me a pen. There was a paper placemat on the table. And again, this is true. I put the pen in my hand and my hand wrote, I did not write this, my hand wrote, write a book about benevolent aliens. Lead character's father knew about UFOs. And then the last thing I wrote, capital A, capital T, capital C. And then my hand stopped moving. Well, I'm like, okay, well, I just did automatic writing. And I've never done it before or since, okay? Mm-hmm. My hand wrote those things. So now I'm looking at this paper. ATC, what is that? What the hell is that? And then it came to me after they came. After they came, aliens come to Earth. Okay, write a book about benevolent aliens. Okay, benevolent aliens come to Earth. Lead character's father knew about UFO. Well, that was my father.
Right.
That was my father. So this is my book right here, After They Came. It was given to me. The book, I went home that day and started writing it and finished it 8 months later. This book was given to me as a gift.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Did your dad at some point tell either your mom or his second wife about what he saw on the base? He didn't go into details, but...
Yeah, great question. Okay, so after... So at the deli, the idea for the book came. I went home, I started writing the book, and it took me 8 months to write the book and research the book. It's science fiction, but it's inspired by that day. Now, I called my mother after my dad died, and they had been divorced for a long time, but my mother's still very sharp. And I said, you know, Mom, did Dad ever talk to you about aliens or UFOs in all the years you were together? She said, in the early 50s, this is such a great story. I'd never heard it before until after he died. In the early 50s, they took your father down deep into the vaults at Fort Monmouth. She kept saying, deep into the vaults, deep into the vaults. And they showed him something above top secret. And your father came home that day, and she said, I looked at him. He was shaking and pale and nervous and sweating. And my mother said, honey, what's wrong? And my father goes, I saw something today I could never tell you or anyone as long as I live. And she goes, Danny, your father was never the same after that day. Now, that's pretty intense. I never, ever heard that story before. So, also after my father died, I researched who he was. I didn't know. I knew him as my dad. I didn't know him, what he did for a living. Couple of things. One is I researched Fort Monmouth. Now, Fort Monmouth Army Base, where my dad worked, was a major, major military base by which genius scientists invented new technologies. Okay. In fact, I just recently learned that they were involved with the Manhattan Project. I never knew that. Well, Wernher von Braun went there several times. Okay. We lived across the street from the Diehl test site. My dad chose a house across the street from the Diehl test site. The Diehl test site was the site of two UFO events in the 50s. And I always wondered why we lived there. Well, that was one of my dad's testing places, was literally across the street. You know, my friends and I would ride the bikes, and it was this huge field that was, you know, do not fenced off, right across the street from my house. And we were like, God, you know, I wonder what goes on there. Well, they tested all kinds of stuff across the street from my house. I never knew that until recently. Okay. Also, after he died, I looked through my old scrapbooks, and I found a newsletter profile of my father from 1985. I still have this, a profile of him from his workplace. He had given it to me in the 80s. I never looked at it before. I never read it before. I didn't even know I had it. Till after he died, I found it. And it describes how he is deeply involved with drones and missiles, radars, drones, and laser technologies. He went to White Sands Missile Testing Range. My mother said he went there all the time. Okay. And the more recent thing that I just discovered was last June, Stephen Greer gave a 3-hour talk at the Washington Press Club. You know this.
Yeah.
And in there, Richard, he presented 3 slides of the U.S. military bases that he has proof of that had or worked on reverse engineered alien technology. Okay. So one of the slides was 150 US bases. I have this. Number 51 on Stephen Greer's list, number 51, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let's recap. My dad worked for the Army for 45 years. He was a genius electronics engineer and physicist. I know he worked on drones. I know that for sure. He went to White Sands Missile Testing Range all the time. The Diehl test site was across the street from my house. My mother told me he saw something top secret that shook him to his core. He never revealed it as long as he lived. And my father and I saw a major UFO together in 1970. And my father winked at me. Mm. Okay? Put all those clues together. What do you get? You get the following. My father knew what that was in 1970. What was ever above his car, he knew what that was. My guess is, here's my guess. It was a military man-made drone in 1970 that incorporated reverse engineered alien technology because it hovered. It didn't even move like a butterfly. And then when we drove away, it slowly, slowly went over the neighborhood. My father winked at me. Now, what does that mean? That means, Danny, I know what that is. I can't tell you. But boy, I wish I could. But yeah, okay, cool. Now, I've told George Norrie said, Danny, you know, your dad knew what that was. I go, I know, George. I mean, yeah, right? He knew. He had to.
Of course.
And the last part is, when I got that download at the deli for the book, Steve Bassett said, you know, Dan, it sounds like it was an ET experience that you had. And I said, maybe. I said, but you know what? I was so close to my father. I think he gave that to me from heaven. I think my dad gave me a gift, because this book was a gift. It changed my life entirely. Entirely. I think my dad gave me a gift after he passed. And the gift was this book.
Wow. That's remarkable. And this led you ultimately to begin the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. Just tell us a little bit about that. And I know that's going to be a featured panel at Contact in the Desert. But tell us about the HDA. Who's in it? Sure. What's it all about?
Sure. Of course. Okay. So my book, I wrote it in 2017, 2018. It took me several years to get a publishing deal, but I finally got a deal at the end of 2022. It came out March 1st, 2023. So only 1 year ago, a year and a month. That's all it is. The first day it came out, actually the second day it came out, I was at Alien Con in Pasadena. I had a booth to promote the book. Well, I met Eric Von Daniken that weekend at AlienCon, and I gave him a copy of my book as a gift. And he goes, after they came, I haven't read this one yet. I go, Eric, it came out yesterday. That's why I signed it for him. I said, Eric, thank you for all you've done for us. And, you know, I got the picture with him. I gave a copy to Giorgio. He remembered me. I met Giorgio 5 or 6 times. He goes, after they came, how cool. I gave him a copy. I met Paul Hynek. I met George Knapp. I met Nick Pope. I met all kinds of people at AlienCon. 2 weeks later, in San Francisco, I went to UFOCon, much, much, much smaller. I had a booth for my book, to promote the book, and I met some very cool people there as well. That weekend, Stephen Bassett gave a talk about disclosure. My brother lives in Monterey, so my brother met me up there, and we hung out that weekend. And my brother and I saw Bassett together, and my brother goes, you know, Dan, there's a lot of weird people here, but this guy seems pretty legit. You should meet him. Okay, so after he talked, we all went to dinner in the restaurant in the hotel. Steven is there with his friends. I was there with my brother. And I said, I got to give this guy a copy of my book just as a gift. So I gave him, I said, Steven, my name is Dan. I enjoyed your talk. I was not familiar with disclosure, really. And this is only a year ago. This is last March. I said, I wrote a book. I wanted to gift you a copy. It's a gift. And I said, if you're ever in LA, you know, I'd love to hang with you and have lunch. He goes, what do you do? I said, well, I've been a Hollywood publicist for 40 years. He goes, you're a publicist? I need a publicist. He stood up. He gave me his card. I gave him my card. We shook hands. That's when I met Steve Bassett. 2 months later, late March last year, he was in LA. He called. He goes, Dan, let's have lunch. I go, sure. We had lunch in Hollywood. He told me his life story. I told him my life story. And then at the end, Richard, he looks at me. He goes, Dan, what can we do together? And he's another light bulb, man, a light bulb. I just looked at him and I looked up like this. And I looked back down. I go, Stephen, we're going to create the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. I didn't know what it was. Didn't know what it meant. I pulled it out of the air, which I've been doing my whole life. I guess perhaps it's a gift. I don't know, but I just pulled it. I'm telling you, I pulled it out of nowhere. He goes, that's exactly right. We shook hands. 4 days later was Contact in the Desert last year. Stephen invited me to be his guest there. In fact, he let me share his room. There were 2 beds, of course, and he let me be his roommate that weekend. Now, I'd heard of Contact for years. And I thought, oh, you know, it's way out in the desert. It's a 3-hour drive. Oh, it's too far. I don't want to go. So he goes, Dan, you got to go. You got to go. You want to promote your book. You got to go. Okay. So I went last year with Stephen to Contact in the Desert. Well, he introduced me to everybody. And we were telling everyone, starting with George Noory. We go, George, we're creating the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. He looked at me, Richard. He goes, Danny, I want to be your first member.
Cool.
George Noory said right to my face. Nick Pope, sign me up. Richard Dolan, sign me up. Katie Page, of course, sign me up. Ron Janix, absolutely. Okay. Now, it was an idea. No logo, no company, no website, no means by which to raise funds.
A mission statement?
Exactly right. I forgot. Nothing. It didn't exist. It was the Hollywood Disclosure. That's all it was. And we're signing people up then. So Stephen goes, Dan, we have a tiger by the tail here. He goes, you have no idea what this. I go, I guess so, right? Last summer, last fall, Stephen and I, we invited everyone we knew that made sense to come together. Now, the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance is a networking group that blends together for the first time ever UFO researchers, experiencers, and disclosure advocates like Stephen with Hollywood. And when I say Hollywood, it means the global entertainment industry, but Hollywood's the better word. Producers, screenwriters, directors, performers. Now, I've been working in Hollywood 40 years. Stephen's been working in the UFO research 30 years. Well, between us, we know a hell of a lot of people. We literally kind of make a joke. We cut and paste our friends and our colleagues. We cut and paste them together. Today, we have 140, 150 members. We're shooting to have 200 this year. We have people all over the world. Among our members, Shirley MacLaine, Thomas Jane, Dee Wallace, all movie stars.
Dee Wallace from E.T., of course.
Yeah, Dee Wallace is one of my best friends. Mm. I worked with her when she was the star of The New Lassie in the 80s. Dee Wallace and I have been friends for 35 years. We have Dave Foley, who people love.
Dave Foley, of course, when I was in college, his TV sketch comedy show, Kids in the Hall, was huge, and now they're back. They've reformed it, and he had a UFO sighting, I think it was in 2022, in the L.A. area.
I met Dave. Here's a funny story. Do you know the name Chrissy Newton?
Chrissy Newton? Yes, I think
she writes. She writes for The Debrief.
Yes.
She was the publicist last year for Contact in the Desert.
Right.
She and I.
That's Micah Hanks. The Debrief. Yeah, Micah Hanks. Yeah.
Right. Exactly right. She and I met. I think it was in January. We met here in L.A. We had dinner. I represent Musso and Frank, the famous Hollywood restaurant.
The oldest.
It's my biggest client for 5 years. So I invited her to dinner. Somebody said, hey, you should meet Chrissy. Okay. We had dinner at Musso and Frank's. We fell in love with each other professionally because she did Contact last year for PR. I'm doing it this year. I said, you know, Chrissy, you and I are two unicorns. There is no one else in North America that I know of that has ever done PR for UFO people. She was absolutely correct. We're the only two unicorns of our kind. We became very good friends. A few weeks later was her 40th birthday dinner. She invited me, and I said, well, I'm flattered. And I come to her birthday in Beverly Hills at a Korean restaurant. I sit down. Well, Dave Foley sits across from me. Now, everyone has been telling me for a year, you got to get Dave Foley in the HDA. You got to get Dave Foley. He sits across from me, pure coincidence. Dave Foley? Yeah. I go, you have no idea how much I've been trying to reach you. And I told him, he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to be part of that. And we shook hands. So he joined right in front of me at dinner. So now that's on the Hollywood side. We have major writers, producers, directors. We have the creators of the Project Blue Book TV series. All of them, all of the creators, including Paul Hynek, Allen Hynek's son. Mm-hmm. On the UFO research side, we have the greatest hits. We have Richard Dolan. We have Steve Bassett. We have Nick Pope. We have Earl Grey Anderson, the head of MUFON, Southern California. Katie Page, Jason Martell. Whitley Strieber joined recently. You'd have to look at the list on our website, but it's just a remarkable list of people. HollywoodDisclosureAlliance.org.
And that'll be a panel. The HDA will be a panel at Contact in the Desert, contactinthedesert.com. And I believe right. Your panel is on June the 2nd.
Exactly right. June 2nd, 2:30. I will be the moderator. The panel is myself, moderator, is Thomas Jane, Dee Wallace, Dave Foley, Steve Bassett, Serena DC, and Michael Mazzola. Now, Serena and Michael are award-winning documentary filmmakers. If you Google them, you've probably seen their films. Michael made films with Stephen Greer. And Serena was Emmy nominated for a doc called My Transparent Life. She didn't win the Emmy, but she was up for it just this past few months ago. All of these people are members of HDA. I'm the moderator. I have to sit down, Richard, pretty soon and come up with my questions because I'm going to introduce each person. They'll come out, clap, clap, clap. And then I'm going to, because Thomas Jane, he's a movie star. Mm-hmm. He's writing a book right now called A Human's Guide to Visiting Aliens. I'm helping him find a publisher, actually. So he's very, very much into this topic. Dee Wallace, my friend, in addition to being a movie star, has 7 books about how to achieve higher consciousness. Her book, she has a book called Born, B-O-R-N. Bless you.
Thank you.
And her book Born is about how to elevate your consciousness. And she's new, believe it or not, even though she's E.T.'s mother, I'm getting her into the alien E.T. world at Contact. She'd never been. She goes, Dan, this is great because higher consciousness is the means by which people can communicate with them. And I've been looking into this just recently. So I'm delivering Dee Wallace to this universe. It's going to be a lot of fun. June 2nd at contactinthedesert.com. Tickets available now. And also we'll have an HDA booth at Contact. And at the HDA booth, many of the most famous people that will be at the show will be signing autographs, including Nick Pope, George Norrie, Dee Wallace, Thomas Jane, Dave Foley, Steve Bassett, myself.
Fantastic.
So it'll be a very cool show.
And in the meantime, we look forward to My Paranormal Life, Supernatural Stories from a Hollywood Insider, coming out just in a couple of months.
And, June.
Of course, After They Came and Flirting with Fame, available to book buyers. Daniel, great to meet you finally. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this. I know you're going to be talking to a bunch of my friends and colleagues in the coming days. We appreciate your help with Contact. Will you be coming to Contact?
One of these days, hopefully. I'm churning out from the chain to my desk here, 3 podcasts a week plus filling in on Coast, and I have a daily show. So one of these days, though, I'm gonna clear the schedule and get out there. Yes,
that's cool. Well, let me know if you need anything in that I'm able to. I mean, if you'd like to join the HDA, anything like that. Also, I do have another book in June coming out called 5. I have 2 books coming out June 10th. 5 is a dark fiction book about a serial killer who gets reincarnated through time.
Wow.
That's all I'll say. And it's also my 5th book. That's why I called it 5.
Fantastic. So, that sounds like a real winner. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks, brother. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.